Tēnā rō rangatira mā, no mai ki te pai o te Waonui. Tēnā koutou katoa, ko te Aorua Rolleston tēnei. E haere ake nei, the COVID vaccine rollout plan is under attack from some Māori health leaders who say it isn't based on evidence or achieving equity. There's frustration the government's measure to cool the housing market does nothing to directly fix the huge problems facing Māori. And calls for the government to apologise for failing to ensure Māori have adequate housing. But first, officials will be able to enter marae without a warrant under a new water safety proposal, even though no marae water supply has ever caused an outbreak of illness. The Water Services Bill is a response to the 2016 Havelock North drinking water crisis and plans to impose tighter restrictions on suppliers across the country. But many Māori say it's unacceptable for officials to come onto marae without their permission and impose rules on places governed by tikanga. Te Aniwa Hurihanga Nui reports.
To most Māori, it is unthinkable that any visitor would ever enter a marae without being welcomed on with a pōwhiri or a whakatau. 17-year-old Maringi James says the thought of an official breaking protocols or tikanga like these at her marae makes her stomach curl.
Our marae are sacred and are actually a natural extension of our home. And having to feel unsafe in a place where is your home isn't fine.
If the Water Services Bill is passed, officials who believe a marae drinking water supply poses a serious risk to public health will be able to go onto the property without a warrant. Ngāti Kahu Chief Executive Anahera Herbert Graves says marae have been operating and testing their own supplies safely for decades, and this provision smacks of distrust.
I don't see any clauses that say that Sikh temples will be invaded, or Latter-day Saint temples, any religious gathering places. So the racism involved is unacceptable. I can find no records where water supply from marae have caused any illness, let alone death.
It's not the first time Jacinda Ardern's government has included a provision in legislation allowing authorities to enter marae without a warrant. In May last year, it was also included in the COVID-19 Public Health Response Bill and fiercely opposed. The word marae was later removed. Local Government Minister Nanaia Mahuta says she is aware of the renewed concern.
I brought visibility to the Select Committee about that particular tower, and again I've invited the Select Committee to investigate whether or not that's an onerous provision.
Māori submissions on the bill so far suggests it very much is onerous, and it's not the only thing many are concerned about. Under the bill, most drinking water suppliers in the country will be required to meet new standards for quality and quantity, register their supply annually, and create safety plans. The Chief Executive of Ngāti Pikiao, Mā Pihi Raharuhi, says compliance costs will be crippling.
So infrastructure, maintenance, and that kind of thing. And it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. But I work on a volunteer basis. You know, we don't have a spare $200,000 lying around. Neither do we have $5,000, and that's a very conservative number.
Anahera Herbert Graves says it also tramples on Māori sovereignty or rangatiratanga.
It would be like me walking into Parliament and saying, okay, well, Ngāti Kahu has decided that you don't comply with our tikanga, and therefore we're going to send in our people to make sure you do comply with our tikanga. It's unnecessary and it's disrespectful.
Nanaia Mahuta says there are safeguards in the bill, including the ability of the water regulator, Te Taumata Arowai, to make exemptions for water suppliers. But she cannot guarantee all marae who wish to be exempt will be, or that marae will be funded to meet costs.
Marae that want to be exempt, and I guess that's something that the regulator will need to consider. When we consider as Māori the events that we go to, and often they're large events, no one wants to get sick.
Dozens of runanga, hapū and trusts are calling for marae to be excluded from the bill entirely. That decision ultimately rests with the minister. Ko te aniwa, Hurihanga Nui, aho.
The COVID vaccine rollout plan is under attack from some Māori health leaders who say it isn't based on evidence or achieving equity. They say Māori should be at the top of the list, and the priority given to older people living in a whānau environment is confusing and unclear. There's also anger over allowing national sports teams to be vaccinated early if they are travelling overseas for a big event. Our political reporter, Mediana Johnson, has the story.
The COVID-19 Minister Chris Hipkins insists letting Olympians and Black Caps get vaccinated early does not push other New Zealanders out of the queue. But Māori Party co-leader Rāwiri Waititi thinks it puts sports teams before Indigenous people, and he isn't happy.
This government should be ashamed of themselves if that's what they're prioritising in terms of a national sports team over the vulnerability of its Indigenous peoples.
Beyond the beehive, Māori health leaders are similarly unimpressed.
It doesn't sit well. You know, I would have liked to have seen all Māori prioritised in the first eligibility tiers. It just isn't equity at the forefront of decisions. We would have liked to have seen it done earlier.
That's Tia Ashby, the COVID response project leader for Ngāpuhi. She says this country should follow Canada, where First Nations people are front of the queue for vaccination. Dr. Jay Tomatia, a doctor and member of Te Rōpū Whakakaupapa Urutā, the National Māori Pandemic Group, wants to know what advice the government is getting.
We don't see the rollout acknowledging the additional risk within Māori communities that we know, and it doesn't seem to align with the evidence around both managing that risk and public health approaches.
Of the 18 people in New Zealand who have been admitted to intensive care for COVID, half have been Māori. Tangata whenua are more likely to suffer from chronic health conditions, such as diabetes, cancer and chronic respiratory conditions, which increase the risk of worse outcomes from contracting COVID-19. Dr. Tamatia says this evidence isn't reflected in the current approach.
I think there definitely is some frustration around the decision not to have a specific Māori criteria somewhere within each of the stages.
Under Stage 2B of the rollout plan, older people living in a whānau environment will be vaccinated after 183,000 health workers have got their doses. Director General of Health Ashley Bloomfield says other whānau members will be able to get the injections at the same time.
They're not bright lines between each of these groups. There is flexibility there to make sure that our high priority groups, the groups that would do worse if there was an infection in those whānau or in those communities, they are able to be vaccinated when the opportunity arises. So, and we have great confidence in our providers, and that's something that's already happening now.
Turuki Health is a South Auckland healthcare service. Its chief executive, Te Puia Winiata, is confident this will cover a lot of Māori.
We've understood if there are kuia kaumātua in Māori with underlying conditions, we can vaccinate them and we can vaccinate their whānau.
Tia Ashby is working with the Northland District Health Board to vaccinate Māori as young as 45 under the older person category in Stage 2B. However, she says it's too open to interpretation.
It's a little unclear and it's not consistent. In general, they need to get, communication out a bit earlier around and have clarity on who's eligible.
Iwi have also been calling for funding for Māori-led vaccination programs, in part to make sure the doses get to the most remote and vulnerable communities. Associate Health Minister Pēni Henare says progress is being made.
Yeah, we're working with providers on that to lock in the kind of support and the contract that's required so that they can do that. And we're also looking to, as Minister of Defence, support those logistics right across the country.
41,500 doses of the vaccine have been given out so far. The government says the priorities are in a good place and the schedule is constantly being revised. Ko Mediana Johnson, DNA.
There's frustration the government's measure to cool the housing market does nothing to directly fix the huge problems facing Māori. They're instead being told to wait until the May budget for further law changes and funding. At the same time, the Waitangi Tribunal Kaupapa Māori Housing Inquiry is calling out the government for failing to put in place policies that ensure tangata whenua have a roof over their head. Our political reporter, Mediana Johnson, has more.
Apanui Kōpū, from Te Whānaua Apanui, has spent the last 4 years trying to find a place to live in Tauranga. When the flat he lived in was sold, he applied for numerous others, but was turned down.
My daughter and I then moved in with my parents in a room in Tauranga. We slept in the living room as the house was full. We stayed there for just over a year. The room was full of black mould and we were all getting sick as a result.
Mr Kōpū was speaking at the inquiry at Te Puia Marae in Mangere. He's still waiting for emergency housing and is back living with his parents in the meantime.
This whole experience has been bad for us, especially our daughter. She has developed severe anxiety problems while we were homeless. It got so bad that we had to move her out of school and homeschooling her.
Mr Kōpū and his daughter are not alone. They're just two of the over 22,000 New Zealanders on the social housing wait list. Kahununu Whānau Services is a Māori social housing provider in Wellington. Its executive, Ali Hamlin-Painga, says what's happening now is a crisis. She doesn't want to wait any longer for government action.
Māori are less likely to own their own home. Māori have the highest rates of homelessness. We are at the high end of all the very relevant areas of housing and we've got to wait. We should have had that announcement up front and it should have been first off the mark.
Ricky Houghton from the Far North Social Housing Agency Hea Korowai Trust agrees. Even with more access to government housing grants, he says the prospect of buying a home is completely out of reach for most Māori in his rohe, where the average salary is $23,000 a year.
It's not going to work. The government's policies are not working for Māori. The announcement is going to work for a lot of working Māori, but they're not going to work for the population that I serve up here in the north.
Māori home ownership is falling at a faster rate than for the total population. Nearly $4 billion is being made available to help bring roads, sewerage and water to land available for housing. The Minister Megan Woods says the fund will be open to iwi.
One of the things that we have made sure that this fund is orientated towards is not only iwi development, but also the ability to fund infrastructure for building on Papakainga and Whenua Māori land, because we know that there are huge opportunities for increasing supply.
The government has already put $9 million into Papakainga developments, where whānau can purchase a home under rent-to-own or shared ownership models. Six trials are underway, which will develop 70 new homes. Komediana Johnson, DNA.
E ari ari mai ana nā taringa ki te Waonui. You're listening to Te Waonui, a wrap-up of the week's Māori news on RNZ National. I'm Te Aorua Rolleston. There are calls for the government to apologise for failing to ensure Māori have adequate housing. The Waitangi Tribunal heard many submissions on how the Crown has perpetuated Māori homelessness at Te Puia Marae in Mangere this week. The Marae has opened its doors to hundreds of homeless whānau over the last 5 years and found them a place to live. Ko tēnei taku pūrongo. Mary Moike Te Pūre did everything in her power to put a roof over her head. The then lecturer in early childhood education and mother of three lost her home after her marriage broke down. Despite owning the house, she couldn't access the money because of an ongoing court battle over the property. Penniless and with nowhere to go, she had to sleep in a van with her three tamariki, who were all under 10.
It was very uncomfortable and scary sleeping in our van. One night as we slept, I woke because a woman knocked on the window for a cigarette. I drove away. Another night we were all woken by a group of youths. They'd started fighting and one of them was held up against our van and being threatened.
She couldn't find any rooms at safe houses because they were all full or didn't cater for children. She was also rejected from 40 private rentals. She then went to the Ministry of Social Development for help.
But I was told that I did not fit their criteria for any assistance. This was due to the fact that I had employment and I and my children were not considered to be sufficiently destitute to warrant any assistance. Despite that categorisation, we were in fact broke.
It is this response from the Ministry which Te Puia Marae Chair Huri Moana Dennis sees as part of the problem.
There is no human face, patience and empathy. The absence of Māori strategies and supporting Māori structures and initiatives only allow and encourage agency staff to behave poorly to homeless whānau in urgent need of support.
Through its Manaaki Tangata Erua Transitional Housing Program, Te Puia Marae has been providing temporary accommodation and finding houses for those in need since 2016. It identifies whānau living in cars and gives them a bed and kai. The model includes having a ministry official who works on site to connect whānau with the services they need and to help them find a more permanent solution. Huri Moana Dennis says it's a blueprint for how the government should be dealing with homelessness and is underpinned by tikanga Māori.
And at the moment we can't see any natural fit in particular. So when one looks, MSD looks after the social housing waitlist and the other one looks after the available stock, the two don't talk. So we're saying no, that needs to change. And here at the Marae we have the ability to do that.
But Marae Treasurer Jennifer Iris Georgina Nuku says programs like Manaaki Tangata don't get adequately funded. Government contracts are often a set amount for each whānau, regardless of how big the family is.
The service delivery fee covers wages and not much else. Often we staff work longer than our contracted hours in order to get the job done. We don't get paid for any overtime.
Huri Moana Dennis wants to see one body overseeing whānau housing services, which would include social, transitional and papakainga. He also wants a formal apology from the Crown for ignoring Māori homelessness and failing to enact legislation and policy to change it. Ko te Aorira Rolleston tēnei. Māori health leaders are still waiting to see the details on concrete significant action for Māori healthcare. Earlier this week, the Health Minister, Andrew Little, promised a major restructure of the health sector which currently discriminates against minority communities. Emma Hatton spoke to the Waitangi Tribunal Hauora Inquiry claimant, Lady Tureiti Moxon.
Well, certainly the standalone Māori Health Authority will go a long way to doing that, to doing transformational change. Of course, the detail has still yet to be made known to everybody as to what that actually means. I know that they are looking at commissioning for services and they are starting to tap people on the shoulder to who might become commissioning agencies. But the detail, again, of all of that is still unknown.
What will be some of the challenges in achieving this? This will be a huge change for the way that primary health services are delivered.
Yes. Well, the idea, of course, is that Māori in the communities around or regions around the country will actually be able to be much more responsive to the needs of their own communities. And I think that is a good thing, and we need that more and more, rather than having a centralised body who's making decisions from Wellington or from the DHBs or the Ministry of Health, for that matter. So what we're going to have are people who are more closer to the ground and people who are more connected with their communities who know what the needs are. And people will be able to talk to them and say, well, this is missing or that is missing. So we can be much more responsive, is my view.
You sound really excited. Has this been a long time coming? Are you really looking forward to this getting off the ground?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's time. And, you know, the thing is, the health system can't keep going the way it's going. It's so huge, and you know, money is a premium wherever you are, and it's just more and more and more money is being poured into the sector, and yet less and less and less people are actually receiving the services that they desperately need, as particularly in terms of those who have got medical conditions that remain undiagnosed or preventable. Suffering preventable diseases. Those are the people, hopefully, in this way, we will be able to capture much earlier and much quicker.
Emma Hatton speaking there to Lady Tureiti Moxon. that's Te Wānui for this week. Kei tō mātou whārangi, ipurangi, tō mātou pūrongo, hei kimi mau, kei raro I te tāpanga, te ao Māori. You can find all our stories on our website, rnz.co.nz, under Te ao Māori. Noho ora mai, have a great rest of your Sunday. Tēnā koutou katoa.